How many of you, in looking at the title of the message this morning, think that perhaps I must have slipped a cog? This morning we're going to be talking about Psalm number 14. And yes, the title of the message really is The Flying Spaghetti Monster. And for a reason that you will hopefully come to understand in a matter of a few minutes. Okay? So please open your Bible to the book of Psalms at number 14. And I'm going to be reading from that this morning. The translation I'll be using actually is the King James. Psalm number 14. I don't know if this has escaped your knowledge. I'm hoping that it hasn't. But we are living in an era that's becoming increasingly scientistic. Notice I didn't say scientific. I said scientistic. Science is the new religion. Okay? It's the new religion of our day. And people look at science and say that if science says something, then it must be true. You know what I'm saying? If science declares something to be true, then it must be true. This is something that sent shockwaves through my life a few years ago because some scientists in Sweden declared that eating too many French fries was the cause of Alzheimer's disease. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what will I possibly eat for the rest of my life if I can't have French fries? But science declared that eating too many French fries is causing an upswing in Alzheimer's. At the same time, they said that using too many aluminum salts was contributing towards Alzheimer's, which means baking powder, not baking soda. But baking powder has aluminum salts in it. Your deodorants that you use, aluminum chlorohydrate or aluminum tetrahydroxy, whatever it's called, all have aluminum salts in them. And they're saying by using too much of that, that's causing Alzheimer's. So I suppose if we want to go hungry, not eating out of aluminum pans, smell bad, and have flat cookies, we'll be okay as long as we don't get Alzheimer's. And they find out that none of it's true. That it's okay to use aluminum pans, and it's okay to use aluminum salt deodorants. And the same group in Sweden that said that eating too many French fries is causing Alzheimer's reversed their findings back in 2009. Thanks be to Jesus. We can all eat our French fries and not worry about it. So, when we look at science, we see the new religion of our day. I have seen people many times over the years come to me and say, did you see the show that was on TV last night? They talked about how science has confirmed what the Bible says about XYZ. Wasn't that a blessing? In other words, I doubted what the Bible said until science came along and confirmed it, and now everything is okay. What would happen if science came along and said something that contradicted what the Bible says? Would that shake your faith? Would it scare you? Would it make you worry? Would it give you more gray hair? What would it do? Well, we give scientists instant credibility. People like Stephen Hawking. How many of you ever heard of Stephen Hawking? Okay? Stephen Hawking is a man of incredible intellect. He suffers from amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's relegated pretty much to a wheelchair. And he communicates basically by moving his eyes around a keyboard, which translates what he says into audible tones. But he has, according to what I have understood recently, and especially as I was doing the research for this sermon, he has deduced through the power of his own mind that God does not exist. And he has also deduced from the power of his own mind that everything that was created has been created by a Big Bang. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the Big Bang Theory? Okay, Hawking is a proponent of the Big Bang Theory. And he says this, that by the laws of gravity, which naturally exist in the world, and the physics which are predominant in the world and in all of creation, it's made possible for matter to be created out of nothing. And he says that things can be created out of nothing just basically by the power of physics and gravity. Okay? Well, as I was doing the research for this, and as I looked into it more and more, we're going to be talking about more of this as we go along this morning. He says, basically, that how many of you can see a period on this page right here? Can you see any periods? Okay, look in your own Bible in front of you. See, look down there and see if you can find a period on the page of your Bible. I had always thought that the Big Bang Theory believed that there was a huge primordial mass out there somewhere that exploded. And it created all the sun, moons, and stars. And that's basically what I thought the Big Bang people believed. Hawking believes differently. And there are more people who believe differently. They believe that all of the things that you see, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universes, were created by a Big Bang, but the piece of mass that exploded was about the size of a period on a printed page. How big is that? You don't know how big that is? Take out your pen or pencil and go like this. They believe that everything was created by an explosion of a piece of matter about that big. This piece of matter, which was self-existent, began to expand until it exploded, and it created everything that you see around you in the way of the sun, the moon, the stars, planets, all of that. Obviously, this piece of matter must have been incredibly dense in order for that to happen. I had a conversation with an atheist that I'll tell you about a little bit later. But angry and antagonistic atheists will look at the claims made in the Bible and they believe that they are all ridiculous. And so atheists have made up a parody. You know what a parody is? Take a D, you put it here, you put another D over here, and you got a parody. Get it? A parody is a scenario that you make up for the purpose of mocking another scenario. And they have come up with a parody that they refer to as the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And they say that a flying spaghetti monster who was invisible and undetectable went out on a night of binge drinking. And after a night of drinking heavily, created everything that we know. Hence the title of the message, The Flying Spaghetti Monster. What does the Bible say about it? Well, the Bible speaks of one who is not a flying spaghetti monster. But look, if you would please, at Psalm 14. And what does it say? Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They were all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I want to focus on the first part of that passage, which says what? A fool says in his heart, there is no God. So point number one, God is. Don't be a fool. God is. Don't be a fool. The book of Genesis begins with the words, what? In the beginning. Okay, in the beginning. Matter of fact, the word Genesis comes from a Hebrew word which means beginnings. But the first four words are, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And this is the declaration that God was there when everything was created. God was there when everything was created. Before everything was created, there was a creator. Back in Bible school, we got used to referring to him as the first cause. You know what I mean by first cause? For everything that happened, there was a cause, but for everything to be caused, there had to be a causer, a first cause, and that is God. But do you notice that Genesis 1:1 is a very simple declaration that declares the existence of God. Because it says, in the beginning, what? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God what? God created the heavens and the earth. But it does not give you any explanation for His existence, does it? Do you read anywhere in your Bible where it explains God's existence? I've read my Bible several times trying to find that passage that talks about that, and I can't find it anywhere. You know why? Because the Bible doesn't explain His existence, it explains His desire for a relationship with people. The Bible is God's, as we used to call it, God's love letter to us. And it doesn't explain His existence. Why? Because there's no need to. Because He didn't come into being. God always was. And I was having this conversation with an atheist, and I said, I believe in a God who always was. And their reply was, what? I don't. I believe that everything was created by a big bang. And I say, a big bang of what? Well, a piece of mass hanging out there somewhere exploded and created everything that we see. So, my reply to him was what? You won't believe in a first cause as a person, but you'll believe in a first cause as an inanimate object, rock that had no creator. Do you understand the hypocrisy in your own position? If something banged, folks, somebody had to make the thing that banged. Okay? I'm not a big banger, by the way. I don't believe the Big Bang Theory. It may be a funny TV show. I think it's horribly lacking as a scientific theory. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 33, it tells us that the eternal God is our resting place. Deuteronomy 33:27. If you read Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What does that mean, from everlasting to everlasting? Well, think about this. By the power of your own brain, think back as far as you possibly can in history. How far back can you go? Can you think back in history from before you were born? Not that you were there. But what about history from the 1300s? What about history from the hundreds? What about BC history? What if I told you that before all of these things happened, God was? And that if you go back in time as far as you can, God was there. And if you go forward in time as far as you can, God is there. And if you look on the face of the earth and all of creation that we now know exists, God is there. He always was, He is, and He always will be. Self-sustaining. Okay? Sovereign in every way possible. And even in ways we can't understand. But if we could, then He wouldn't be God. God is too big for us to completely understand. And it's hard for us to understand it because in your way of thinking and in my way of thinking, everything has to have what? A beginning and what? An end. I don't care if it's a blade of grass or your favorite car. They all had to start somewhere. Correct? And they will all, I'm sorry folks, end somewhere. Even if you take it to Shook's Body Shop, sooner or later the car is going to decay and it's going to end somewhere. Correct? It's a pretty bad deal, folks, to be called a fool by somebody. As a matter of fact, Jesus says it in the New Testament, if you so much as call somebody raka, which means fool, you have committed murder. Yeah. If you do so much as call somebody a fool, you have as much as committed murder. And here it says in Psalm 14, what? It is a fool who says in their heart that there is no God. If somebody walks up to you and calls you a fool, that's a bad deal. Chances are you'll have something to say back to them. But I would rather be called a fool by a man than to be called a fool by God. When God calls you a fool, it is no laughing matter. What is a fool? Notice what this fool says in Psalm 14. What does the fool say in their heart? A fool in their heart says, there's no God. Do you know people that don't believe in God, they'll say God does not exist? Folks, that's a fool. Okay? That is a fool. Because if we really believe that there is no God, this implies not only a heart belief that there is no God, but it also privately means that they live a life as though there's no God. So certainly, you and I would never do such a thing, would we? We would never say that there's no God, would we? Would we? Of course not. I go to church. I've got to believe that God exists because I go to church. We publicly proclaim that we know God. We publicly proclaim that we believe in God. And we proclaim that sometimes by saying, well, here I am. I'm in church. It's Sunday morning. I'm in church. But what if I was to say that going to church on Sunday does not give us the license to live as though God is dead Monday through Saturday? Amen? Ouch. There's an old question that goes something like this. If you were indicted on charges for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of the crime? If somebody were to follow me around every day and take note of everything I say, take note of everything I think, and take note of everything that I do, including praying, including how often I read my Bible, how much I stress and worry over stuff that I cannot control, how much I treat my brother with love, not meaning my brother who's 15 months older than me. I'm talking about my neighbor or my brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ. Do I treat them with the love that Jesus says that I should be treating them with? If somebody were to follow me around on a daily basis, charting everything I say, everything I think, and everything I do, would they walk away and say, my, this is a godly man? And that's a thought that bugs me. And it better bug me. Because Apostle Paul says we need to walk in the world circumspectly. Would they conclude by watching the way I do things, the way I think things, the way I say things, that I am a Christian, if they don't know that I go to church on a Sunday morning? Are we essentially living Monday through Saturday as though it all depends on us, our own strength, our own wisdom? Folks, if I go to church on Sunday morning and I praise the Lord in a place like this, and then go out and live Monday through Saturday, believing that it all depends on me, living by my own strength, my own power, my own guile, my own intellect, then I am living practically as an atheist. I may be going to church on Sunday, but I'm living like God is dead Monday through Saturday. And the world does not need to see that. Amen? Beliefs lead to behavior. If people persist in believing that there is no God, then they will sooner or later act as though there is no God. Am I making myself clear? Why is the world in such a mess? Because people believe and act their beliefs, which is that there is no God. Once God is effectively removed from our heads and our hearts, there will be consequences in our character. Amen? You've seen it happen, haven't you? Notice what it says here. Psalm 14, 1 through 3. They are corrupt. People living as though there is no God are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. You know what the word vile means? How many think it's a little glass tube? That's V-I-A-L. This is V-I-L-E. What does that mean? It means rotten, putrid, and decayed. Think of what it happens when you drive by something that's been on the side of the road for a few days. What does it smell like? And God says, this is the way that the godless smell to me. They're a vile smell in my nostrils. Everything pertaining to morals, ethics, and understanding what's right and wrong crumbles when God is removed from the picture. So what does that mean we need to do, folks? We need to keep God in the picture. We need to live as though He does exist. Without God, there's no basis for morality. There's no purpose in anything that we do. There's no purpose in the pain that we suffer. There's no purpose in living a moral life if there is no God who will judge us. Correct? What's the point of any of it? A fool says in their heart, there is no God. God is. Don't be a fool. Point number two. Creation cries out. Okay, if open please to Psalm 19. That's just a page turn away. What if I was to tell you that God has revealed Himself in such a way that no reasonable person can possibly deny it? Look at verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. Do you believe that? Folks, if you can look into the heavens at night and see the stars, shooting stars, northern lights. Have you ever seen the northern lights, the aurora borealis? There was one night, particularly when I was up in Boston, that the aurora borealis was so incredible and so vivid you could hear it. There were huge red curtains and blue curtains waving in the sky with ribbons of yellow that you could see with your own eyes passing back and forth. And as I'm watching this, here come a bunch of shooting stars. I said, oh my God, aren't you something? It was funny because I was driving from the church over to Hull, Massachusetts, and I was telling the kids, we may have northern lights tonight. We should be careful and look out for them. And they said, what does it look like? I said, well, they're saying that these are so vivid, it could turn the sky red, usually blue-green. And this one over here says, like that. And I pulled the car over, and I looked, and folks, scarlet ribbons. And I said to myself, Lord, you're showing off. Because the heavens declare your handiwork. God is everywhere present, and He's left His fingerprints all over creation. Look, you'll see it. It's everywhere. The earth is marked by a sign that declares in very bold letters, made by God. It's there if you're willing to see it. I want to share with you something that I found in a book written by a man named Dr. Gary Hurd. Gary Hurd is a fairly renowned scientist. Those of you that are in scientific fields or interest may understand this guy's name. But I'm quoting, all of the matter in the universe was concentrated into one very dense, very hot region that may have been much smaller than a period on a printed page. Okay? For some unknown reason, this region exploded, quote unquote, Dr. Gary Hurd from his book, Why Intelligent Design Fails, page 61. Now, he goes on to say that as a result of this alleged explosion of a period-sized ball of matter, billions of planets, suns, stars, and even galaxies and universes were created. How many of you believe that this universe that we live in is all there is? There are universes outside of our universe. Modern science, okay, believes, from what I saw on TV a couple weeks ago, that there are universes that are flying through void areas, and between the universes are these void areas where they don't know there is anything. They don't know what's in these void areas. They're just thinking there's these universes flying around, flying away from each other. And they try to deduce this by radio waves of one form or another, which I'm not really all that familiar with. But supposedly, the evolution of planets and solar systems and galaxies all came about by this totally non-purposeful piece of steaming hot mass that created itself out of nothing. if you can believe in a steaming hot ball the size of a period, can't we believe in it coming from somewhere? Which makes more sense to you, that a steaming hot ball of mass came out of nothing, or that there was a first cause that created everything? If you want to go by the evolutionist theories, then we need to believe, likewise, that life forms on this planet eventually appeared, evolved by nothingness, coming from nothing. Some life forms just happen to evolve the ability to reproduce asexually, to produce creatures that reproduce sexually. How does an asexual creature produce sexually reproducing creatures? It's impossible. But evolutionists believe this to be true. And according to Stephen Hawking, Gary Heard, and others, everything has come into existence by random chance over millions and millions of years. According to the general theory of evolution, there was no mind, there was no intelligence, and no designer that created the universe and anything in it. And as if God's revelation of himself in creation is not enough, look at verse 7 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God has not only revealed himself in a general sense through his creation, but he has also made his character known through his written word. You hear what I just said? As if the glories of creation are not enough to reveal to us that God exists, he makes himself known to us in his word, or as it says here, in the law of God. What should be our response to that? Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Our response should be obedience and worship. Is there a flying spaghetti monster out there anywhere that's worthy of our obedience and our worship? Only God is. Only God is. Now, please open to the Gospel of John. We're going to be looking at chapter 1 and verse 18. Let me ask you this question as you're finding that. If you wanted to find out what God is like, where would you go? Would you read your Bible? Would you listen to the preacher on Sunday morning? Come to Bible study Wednesday night? Would you come to Sunday school on Sunday morning? If you wanted to find out what God was like, where would you go? Well, John 1:18 gives us an idea of where we should go. Everybody got it? No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Folks, you want to know what God is like? Where should you go? Go to Jesus. Because if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, wait a minute. Did God have calloused hands and dirty feet? He did when he walked here with us. Do you want to know what God is like? Point number 3 is, the living word reveals God. Jesus is the living word of God. God's primary vehicle for self-disclosure is through his Son, Jesus Christ. You understand me? God's primary vehicle for disclosing himself is through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being." Jesus is who the Father is. I love that. John 12:37 says, "Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in Him." So here was God the Son staring them square in the face. I mean, walking alongside them, looking them square in the eyeballs. And saying, "You want to know who God is? Look at me. I will show you what God is." Doing miraculous things. Giving sight to blind eyes, hearing to deaf ears, straightening crooked legs. Raising people from the dead. And people wouldn't believe it. It seems to me that some people, even though they are given a boatload of evidence, miracles, overwhelming proof, will still refuse God. Why is that? How come? Why is that? I've had people say to me, "If the Lord would show Himself to me, then I would believe." My response is, I could throw boatloads of evidence for God's existence at you and you still would not believe. Because belief comes from willingness in the heart. And you're not willing. For some people, the issue is not lack of evidence, but rather a refusal to believe the boatloads of evidence that God has left all around. God has left His fingerprints all over creation. Not only that, He has given us the written word to reveal Himself, and as though that was not enough, He gives us the living word of God, which is Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Don't bother going there. I know you've done a lot of page turning already this morning. It tells us a few things, and I'm just going to summarize them for you. Number one, God is. And He will not be silent. God is there and He will not be silent. We cannot silence God. Verse 18 there says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." We don't like to hear about the wrath of God. We kind of like to kind of reject the idea in our minds about God's wrath because we want to believe that He's just a God of love. But the truth is that because God is righteous, He must judge wickedness. And He will do it. We will not keep Him silent. People try. And it says that God will judge those who hold the truth down or people who suppress it. To deny God's existence is exhausting work. And it's going to be ultimately futile. Because there's a day coming when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there are going to be some people that confess that in time, and there are going to be people that confess it after it is too late. And Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to say to the sheep, "Welcome in those of you." Okay? You welcome into your reward. And He goes on and says that there are going to be people who are going to cry out, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus is going to say, "Depart into outer darkness because I never knew you." And these are going to be people that cry out, "Lord, Lord." Is it possible to worship God with our mouths and have hearts that are far from Him? Verse 19 says, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them." God has revealed Himself in His creation in such a way that if you look at creation, you cannot possibly deny with a rational mind that there wasn't a creator for it all. Abraham Lincoln said, "You may look down upon the earth and be able to deny the existence of God, but no man can look into the heavens at night and deny the existence of God." Abraham Lincoln. Romans 1:20 states that the evidence for God's creative power is clearly evident, for since the creation of the world, God's visible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been made clearly seen, and understood from what has been made so that men are without an excuse. God is, and He's no flying spaghetti monster who created everything after a night of hard drinking. God is. He will not be kept silent. Well, let me get back to that conversation I had with the atheist. I had an argument on Facebook with this atheist. In the course of the argument, we jousted back and forth until finally this individual became weary. I mean, folks, you may be able to outrun me, but you ain't going to out-talk me. Forget it. This individual became weary and said, "If God is there, then I command Him to right now strike me down dead in front of my keyboard." And nothing happened. And so he writes me back and he says, "What? Nothing happened. See? There is no God. Here's your proof. Because He didn't strike me dead." I responded and said, "While you see God's failure to strike you down as evidence, not proof, that God does not exist, I see it as evidence of two things. Number one, God is not taking orders tonight from atheists like you. And number two, God is gracious to you even in your state of rebellion. Repent while there's still time." Folks, he unfriended me. I was crushed. God is. Only a fool would believe otherwise. Am I making myself clear? God is not a flying spaghetti monster. He is an all-knowing and all-loving God who has made a way for unworthy, vile individuals like you and me to come to know Him personally and have the gift of everlasting life. He's an all-knowing and loving God who was willing to send His only Son, the only Son He ever had, for the purpose of saving you. That's the God I want to know. Let's pray. Father, Your Word says that a fool will say in their heart that there is no God. Lord, we are here this morning and we raise to You our hearts and maybe even our hands and we say, "Thank You, God, for who You are. Thank You, Father, for all that You created, because it's so splendid." Lord, we see the beautiful sunrises. We see the beautiful sunsets. We see the passing of the seasons. We see the flowers springing from the ground. And it reminds us, Father, that You're a God of life. And we thank You, Father, that You are who You are. We thank You for giving us a Savior who is who He is. Lord, there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some will do it to their eternal reward. Father, some will do it when it's too late. Lord, help us to be the people, to bring people as there is still time. Lord, we don't know when Jesus is returning, but one thing we do know, that He wants us to live for You day by day. Lord, help us that we don't just live for You on the day like today and then live as though You don't exist Monday through Saturday. But Father, help us to live every moment of every day as though we're being watched. And we are. The atheist public is watching us. The unbelieving public is watching us. But Father, we know too that You watch us. Help us to live every day by Your grace and Your strength. And in so doing, Father, may our lives speak loudly about the love of a God who gave us a Savior. And it's in the Savior's name we pray. Amen.